And this is the Religion and Ethics Report with me, Andrew West, here on ABC Radio National. The enthronement of Sarah Mullally as the first woman Archbishop of Canterbury comes amid lots of talk about a quiet revival of Christianity in Britain. And there is evidence, anecdotal and a bit in data, of a rise in people returning to the pews. But the spiritual leader of the world's 85 million Anglicans also faces a more complex challenge. Because in Britain, some people are claiming a Christian identity, perhaps with a political or other dubious motive. Madeline Davies of the Church Times has investigated this development in a recent deep dive feature. We're going to put a link to it because it's very comprehensive. Madeline, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on.
Now, a Christian leader would normally, I guess, welcome more people into the fold. From your very extensive reporting, though, Madeline, I get the feeling that Dame Sarah Mullally should be a bit wary. Why?
So there's been a lot of debate, I guess, within Britain about the nature of the quiet revival. So some of that has come down to the reliability of the polling. And so whether we really are seeing a statistical increase in people going to church. And then the sort of second area of inquiry has really been what might be underpinning this rise in people reporting a Christian identity or reporting church attendance. And this is really happening against the backdrop of a wider debate in the country about our identity in England in particular. So are we a Christian country? What is our Christian heritage? And in particular, how do we square that with our sort of changing demographics? So we've had quite a large level of immigration in recent years. We've got a growing Muslim population. So many politicians and others are sort of grappling with this question of our religious and political identity and how to make sense of that in a sort of rapidly changing culture.
Yeah, but it strikes me from your piece, and you do refer to this, that if there is this quiet revival, it's most likely going on care of immigration. It's, I mean, your experience and mine has probably been you walk into a church in London and it's a multicultural church. That's where the growth is. I mean, this is, you know, the contradiction in this sort of rise of nationalism. If you want a Christian country, you may need to rely on Christians from other parts of the world.
Yes, so we've definitely seen, you know, growing churches partly powered by immigration, I guess, particularly from Eastern Europe. So we've had a lot of immigration from that area where obviously a lot of people are baptized Catholic. We've also seen immigration, obviously, from Africa. And some of that has powered a real growth in Pentecostal churches. So it's certainly true to say that, you know, immigration has sort of boosted church numbers. I suppose one of the questions is around Muslim immigration. And certainly we're seeing a rise in anti-Islam rhetoric and in talk about needing to protect Christian civilization, Christian culture from Islam. So we're living in quite sort of politically febrile times, I would say.
Yeah, you capture this, though, very well. Have events like the recent Unite the Kingdom rallies, which were really about immigration, co-opted or even hijacked parts of the Church of England?
Yes, so these are sort of events and rallies which have been really led by Tommy Robinson, who is probably our most sort of prominent anti-Islam campaigner. So he's got a long history in this country. He has been in prison. He's a very controversial figure. And I guess a lot of his rhetoric is about the danger posed by Islam in our country. And in more recent times, he has spoken about becoming a Christian while in prison and really trying to sort of gather people to a Christian identity and emphasize the importance of Christianity in the country and of defending Christianity against Islam. So he's not alone in that, but he's probably the most prominent person sort of leading that rhetoric.
Certainly
at these events and rallies, you know, we've seen crosses, we've seen banners talking about Christ is King. So a lot of sort of Christian nationalist slogans and images.
Yeah, but hasn't Tommy Robinson, and I found this fascinating, actually found the odd ally among Church of England clergy? I mean, did I read in your piece, just remind me, Madeline, some sympathetic comments by a priest towards Tommy Robinson?
Yes. So, I mean, I'm not clear that it's a sort of a majority position with the Church of England, but there are certainly clergy within the church who are probably sympathetic to his position. And the clergyman that I quoted in my article really talks about the importance of civic nationalism. He shares Tommy Robinson's concerns about Islam. He actually talked about perhaps it would be good to give Christian immigrants sort of extra points in our immigration system so that we could sort of boost our Christian heritage by giving a preference to Christian immigrants. And so there is a sympathy there. And some people feel that the church shouldn't look down on the people who have gone to these rallies and that perhaps there is something good in what they are looking for. You know, if they are searching for identity, if they're exploring Christianity, their argument is sort of, why shouldn't we welcome this?
Yeah. I can understand the sensitivity around this, because is there a sense among some in the Anglican flock, I'm not talking here about the clergy, but the people who attend Anglican churches, that immigration has gotten out of hand? They may not subscribe to this radical and very ugly expression of nationalism, but I just wonder if there's a bit of, especially among older parishioners, a sense that, you know, it is a bit out of hand. And, you know, maybe people like Tommy Robinson go too far, but they put it on the agenda, as it were.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I think we've really seen a sort of shifting of what's called the Overton window in the country. So comments about immigration or even talking about deporting people who have come here have become much more mainstream in our political discourse. And sometimes we focus on more fringe figures like Tommy Robinson, but actually even within the mainstream sort of political dialogue, we're hearing a lot about how mass immigration has caused problems for the country, about the need to radically reduce it. Sort of one of our major political parties is talking about the need to sort of step up enforcement forces. And so I think there would be many people in the pews who do have concerns about the level of immigration, who would like to see the numbers fall. And it's probably sort of now that the bishops are, I suppose, sort of starting to engage with that conversation. They've obviously been very worried about some of the sort of anti-refugee, anti-asylum seeker rhetoric, and they've really challenged that, particularly in Parliament. But we're now seeing signs that bishops are starting to recognise there are a significant number of Anglicans who are concerned about the level of immigration in the country.
Yeah, you do quote one bishop. He is in no way embracing an ethnic nationalism, but he did seem to me in your piece to be at pains to suggest that, you know, we need to be cautious about immigration.
So the Bishop of Leicester is a very vocal critic of racism in the country, and he has a whole programme in his diocese about encouraging intercultural congregations. He famously took the knee during the Black Lives Matter protests in the country, so that's sort of where he's coming from initially. But he has spoken more recently about, you know, we do need to have a conversation about the level of population change in the country. We do need to sit down with people who have concerns about immigration, not to sort of immediately denigrate them, you know, as racists. And I think some of that is because the Church of England's bishops have been accused by our more right-wing parties of being out of touch with the population. So obviously it's an established church. Our bishops sit in Parliament, and they have been accused of being sort of out of touch on this issue and not listening to what the population at large has been saying.
Yeah, I do see, though, other clergy and bishops. I think there was one in Birmingham, another in Kirkstall, that they've decided, I think, from what I can gather, to draw a line in the sand against the nationalists. What have they been saying?
There's a lot of concern about this rise in Christian nationalism and about the co-option of Christianity. And so I think their argument would be that, you know, actually, this isn't about the Gospels. This isn't about Jesus. This is a political movement. It's dehumanizing people who aren't white, people who aren't British, people who aren't Christian, and that the church really needs to stand up against it. Bishop Aaron in Kirkstall, which is in the north of England, has a particularly interesting history because he is not white himself. You know, he's British Asian. He grew up in the 1980s where the far right was very active in the part of the country that he grew up in. And I think, you know, his alarm bell is going off saying, are we actually regressing? Are we going back to a time when, as a kid, I wasn't safe to go to certain areas? So I think he's sort of particularly attuned to the dangers because he's already lived through a period that was very difficult for British Asians in this country.
Yeah. What do you think, Madeleine, though, is the difference between this new manifestation of nationalism, and if you like, that kind of just old-fashioned, you know, British patriotism of which the Church of England could be a part, singing hymns like Jerusalem and I Vow to Thee, My Country, you know, which all seemed, in a way, a good social glue. Even if it seems a little antiquated today, it did seem a good social glue. What's the difference, though?
Yeah, so I think that is a major question which we're grappling with in the Church of England, particularly because, you know, unlike in Australia, we have an established church. The king is the head of our church. Our bishops sit in Parliament. You know, technically, our children are supposed to have a daily act of mainly Christian worship every day. And so, you know, in that sense, our whole constitution is tied up with Christianity in the church. And patriotism is, you know, a very strong feeling in much of the country. People want to be able to raise the flag. They want to be able to sing the national anthem with pride. They want to talk about how much they love being English. And, you know, there are bishops saying, you know, there's nothing wrong with that in a sense. You know, it's distinguishing that from something which is sort of anti other countries or asserting sort of English supremacy. But certainly one of the bishops I spoke to, Bishop Andrew Rumsey, has written a lot about English history and its connection to Christianity. And he's very keen to, you know, talk about a positive form of patriotism. You know, we do have an English church, an English culture, and he's keen for the church, you know, to celebrate those things, not to be sort of embarrassed by them.
Just finally, Madeleine, where does this leave the newly enthroned Archbishop of Canterbury, Dame Sarah Mullally, having to manage this? What's the challenge for her with this?
Yeah. I've actually just finished writing a sort of a long profile of her for one of our political magazines, and that's one of the areas I really touched on is, yes, how will she confront this? Obviously, she was Bishop of London, and that's where the Unite the Kingdom marches took place. So she'll be very aware of that. She's also led a lot of racial justice work in the diocese. So that will definitely be sort of one of the major challenges in her in-tray. And I think it'll be interesting, particularly when she speaks in our House of Lords, as to whether she sort of directly confronts this phenomenon. Because I know many MPs are, you know, concerned about Christian nationalism, concerned about where this is going. And so I think one of her roles will be, you know, to address that.
We'll look out for that piece. I gather that's in the New Statesman, Madeleine.
It is, yes. That will be coming out at Easter.
We'll look forward to that. Great to talk to you as always, Madeleine Davies, senior writer with the Church Times and contributing writer to the New Statesman. Thanks for joining us on the Religion and Ethics Report.
Thanks so much for having me.